This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Memorable Masters Sunday, TJ Watt still waiting to hear what's going on with him and his contract. Also, Aaron Rodgers, plus 10 days out from the NFL draft, and yet here we are, basking in another ridiculously bad Pirates weekend, where they had 10 hits in three games, got swept by the Reds, and their last 23 hitters were retired yesterday, hitting 184 as a team, dead last in baseball.
I won't bore you too much with fancy stats, but Travis Sawchik, who traffics in them, used to cover the Pirates when he was local here. They're hitting 184 as a team, dead last. Slugging 290 as a team, dead last. There's a stat called weighted runs created plus. Are you good at creating runs as a team? 100 is the baseline, Pony. They're at 61. Where do you think that ranks in Major League Baseball?
30th? Dead last.
Dead effing last. Hitting coach by trade, Derek Shelton, with this team.
Well, so that's what I wanted to start with, because I got a text message when that game ended yesterday that said any day now when it comes to changes, and specifically Shelton.
Was this somebody wishing it would happen, or somebody kind of tipping you off?
No, this is somebody who I would say, if I had to guess, do they know, do they not know, I would say they know. They know.
Okay.
And here's the thing about Shelton that I've been able to discover from just talking to multiple people on his status. They've never announced the terms of his contract. He apparently is in the last year of his deal. So there's no 2026, there's no 2027. Nothing is guaranteed beyond this year. He's making about half of what Clint Hurdle made. When Hurdle was fired, he had 2 years and $6 million left on his deal. Nutting paid him to go away. Mm-hmm. Front Office Sports reported that Shelton's making about $1.5 million. So really what we're talking about here is $1 million in change to get some kind of fresh start and just see if that kind of move lights a fire or changes anything. Now, I'm sure we'll talk to people, 412-928-9370, who say that won't be enough, that that's a pointless move, that how can you expect? I heard Donnie on Saturday, guys are calling in saying, how do you expect to make spaghetti without tomato sauce? And how do you expect to go to a prom without a dress? And
all how to build a house without a hammer.
Yeah, all these people making analogies.
I feel like the Amish could do that last one, Donnie, if we gave him a shot.
I mean, Amish can do anything.
So do those people think that Derek Shelton is a victim here, that he's a scapegoat? That if he had been tasked with managing the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Braves or any of the Phillies or any of these teams, he would actually be good at his job. We can all agree or admit that the Pirates have more than one problem, and they are many. And there are people that either own the team or have a higher pay grade than him that are not doing their job either. But this appears to be the one thing in April that's on the table. I don't think the other things are. I don't think they're getting a new president. I don't think they're getting a new GM right now. I don't think the owner is selling the team today. The manager is absolutely in the crosshairs. It stands to reason, if you can get an extension in April, you can get fired in April. And that's what happened with him 2 years ago. He got an extension through 20-something games or 30 games. So I'm interested here because just from listening a little bit to Donnie on Saturday, it almost sounded to me like if that's the move the Pirates make in this week, if they lose tonight to Washington or they lose this series to the Nationals, another bad team, and the move is they fire Derek Shelton, it almost sounded to me like people would feel bad for him. Like they would feel like he got a raw deal. And I just don't understand that at all.
Two things can be true here, and in this case, two things are true. One is that he's not working with the greatest material. He's working with pretty bad material. Two is that he's bad at his job and has been. He has to own the fact that they had a guy a couple years ago in Jack Sawinski who actually looked like a 30 to 35 homer guy who was going to be a flawed hitter. He was probably never going to hit 240 even, but he was going to get on base because he was going to hit the ball over the fence or walk a lot. They told him to be more patient. He's not a major leaguer now. Donnie and I have been beating this drum for a long time. I've been beating this drum for probably a solid year. They've ruined him. And if you're a hitting coach by trade who's the manager of the team, you have to wear that.
Which I've heard he takes a very hands-off approach on. Okay. He's not into the technical nitty-gritty of hitting anymore.
Maybe he should take a hands-on approach since the team is dead last in any category that matters. Perhaps it would be time to put your hands on the steering wheel and stop letting the car drive itself because it's going off a bridge into a river at this point. He deserves to get fired. Here is the biggest problem for Derek Shelton. The owner is on record as saying he thinks he has done everything within his power to give his people the tools they need to succeed. I don't think that's true. I disagree with that assertion by the owner. The fact is, though, that's how he feels about it. And field manager is going to be the first guy to go. I have a timeline on it. You said you heard from somebody you think is probably more likely than not somebody who would know that it's any day now. They have 7 more home games now to play. They have a 7-game homestand. They have 4 with the Nats, 3 with the Guardians. I think unless they were to go something like 5-2 or 6-1, if they go 2-5, 1-6, I think he's fired by the end of this 7-game stretch. I think Donnie Kelly ends up their manager for this 6-game swing out to LA to play the Angels and the Dodgers so he can do it in a sort of lower pressure, who's watching baseball at 10:35 pony kind of environment.
Yep.
And then I think he comes back as their manager, hopefully with a couple of wins under his belt for some home games. That's what I think is going to happen. And I don't have anybody telling me that. That's just me using like deductive reasoning to think, how would I do this if I were running the show there?
Donnie, how would you feel if that's the change the Pirates make here shortly, that the manager gets told to leave and the GM keeps his job at least for now?
I do think that there are bigger issues than Derek Shelton. There absolutely are. I also think that the GM happens to be worse at his job than what Derek Shelton is at his, but this is just the nature of the beast, and this is just how things go, how they roll downhill in professional sports. But there would be absolutely people that feel bad for him. I can't believe.
And you're not one of them, for
no,
the record?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, he's had 5+ years here. Come on.
What has he shown as a manager? Like, what tenet or trait has he shown that would make somebody feel bad
Nothing.
For him?
If he had
a winning season and they had gutted his roster, different story.
I didn't even think that this was a prevailing thought or a sentiment until two things happened. I heard Donnie's show on Saturday, and then I read what Ken Rosenthal wrote today. And those two things made me think, wait a minute here. I've been railing on Derek Shelton and saying the guy is basically incompetent and horrible at his job. And here's baseball's biggest insider basically playing the violin for him.
That makes me think that he's just good with the media.
And there were people calling into Donnie's show on Saturday like, hey, don't get mad at Derek Shelton. What do you expect him to do?
I don't think it's that, but here, yeah, Donnie.
There have been two, and I got to credit Charlie Borges for this. He has like a fantastic little like Excel spreadsheet on this stat. 216 managers at the major league level have managed 700+ games. Derek Shelton ranks 212th in win percentage.
Yeah.
He's a guy who has hitting as his background. They have been unable to hit as a collective in 5 years. The only guys that are anywhere close to being decent hitters were with the last regime. Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz were inherited. And Andrew McCutchen was long before that, and he continues. The man is almost 40. Yet again, like we saw this coming, he continues to be one of their best offensive players.
See, I think the guy you just named there is the biggest reason why I think you can make an argument for Shelton being fired. is that, yes, there are instances like Emmanuel Valdez and Jared Triolo and Tommy Pham and guys like that that he has to run out there. But how about just overall the job he's done with O'Neal Cruz?
He's become like slightly more selective very early this season. He's got 10 walks, which is good. But he's, and I'm sure some of this is batted ball luck if I were to dig deeper. He's hitting 195.
He's not developed or turned into
he has
a star player.
He has all the tools to be spectacular. There is no evident sign that he's going to become spectacular at the plate, I mean.
I just think the whole way around.
Well,
he's
definitely not going to be spectacular in the field, but that's like almost a different story. I'm talking about strictly Shelton as a hitting mind. Why has he not seized control of that player's development and said, you guys have screwed this up, I'm going to try to get through to him?
Well, whoever's decision it was, they decided to transition him from shortstop to center field midseason last year, and then they had all spring training to work with him on it, and now, and the returns so far have not been good. I think his focus is here and there, hit or miss. He makes spectacular plays. He makes boneheaded plays. And then you contrast that with Ellie De La Cruz, who you saw this weekend. And they're just not...
Who's also significantly younger, by the way.
O'Neal Cruz is supposed to be the thing that this is all built around. He's supposed to be your foundational offensive player. So when you fail to maximize or get the most out of a guy like that, you know, somebody's head is going to be on a pike for it. And I just... Yeah, like, I'm not here. This is not at all an impassioned defense or somebody who's trying to get Ben Cherington off the hook. But knowing how things usually go in baseball, if someone's going to get fired very early in the season, it's the manager. That's the first shoe to drop. And I see no reason. The sooner you do it, the quicker we get to evaluate the next guy. And if the next guy is the same results, well, then the GM gets fired shortly thereafter. So I don't know why anybody would not want to have like that kind of accelerated or expedited timeline on getting to the bottom of like of their problems this year and moving forward. So it just it baffled me the reaction that I saw from people that when this Shelton hot seat thing got written this morning, it was Ken Rosenthal saying like, this dude is being scapegoated.
Don't you think that just means that Shelton might be a friendly talker with those guys? You know that's how it works in many of those cases. I don't think Rosenthal is wrong to be somewhat, not sympathetic's not the right word, but to point out that they have a bad roster and that they don't spend perhaps as much as they could. And
all true.
All those things are true. I just think if you're going to get a defense of a guy who's been, as Donnie pointed out, what was it, 212 out of what?
216.
That bad historically for managers who have managed
X number of
games. And worse
than John Russell?
Like, that terrible.
Russell didn't hit 700 games.
That's right. Thank you for that.
To be that bad and to have somebody in Ken's station, Ken Rosenthal's station, writing nice things about you or pulling his punch tells me that you just have a good relationship with that.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That reporter.
Terry Francona.
Do you know for a fact that he is still interested in managing?
Yes. I mean, the only thing I think that might lure him is the fact that he grew up here. He's from New Brighton in Beaver County. He grew up a Pirate fan. And the fact to come home and manage his hometown team and maybe finally get them on the right side of things, I think he would at least listen.
That call never got made because the Pirates hung on to Derek Shelton for an extra year and Ben Cherington, and now Shelton might not even survive April. That was John Parato on Francona's potential interest in the Pirates job, and he thinks it would have tugged at his heartstrings. That's what he told Starkey.
Brian on YouTube, as we've talked to Derek Shelton in his ineptitude.
Yep. What is YouTube today? Are they coming to the defense of Shelton, or has it been a pretty...
YouTube's been an interesting group of... one guy in particular who usually just rips the hell out of us, just making plans with the rest of YouTube that he's going to maybe go down to tonight's game. So it doesn't... The Pirates don't have everybody too bummed out. Brian says, blaming Shelton is like blaming the iceberg for the Titanic sinking. I don't really know if I follow the analogy there, but I like the attempt. That would suggest that Shelton is a completely inanimate object just drifting along in time and space and has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, I watched just about every one of their games last year. There's a lot of managers that would have led them to more than 76 wins.
So that's a question I have.
I totally believe that with this bullpen management and some of his lineup
bullpen management
construction.
For sure. So let me ask you, who do you think is the best manager currently going in baseball? Like right now, in term not has the best roster and therefore is the best, but just
tough to argue Bochy, man. He's won four, and it's not like in any of those situations he had the best team with the Giants those three times and then the Rangers a couple of years ago.
Now, for argument's sake, let's just say Bochy is their manager right now. This team's 5-11. What would their record be, even in a small sample? You think they'd be a game or two better so far
100%.
With Bochy?
Yeah. I don't think they lose 3 out of 4 in Miami.
It's hard for me to say that a manager matters that much, but I guess when we're talking about the guy who I think statistically and otherwise is the worst manager in baseball and your pick for the best manager in baseball, it makes sense that a guy would be worth at least one win in the first 20 games.
In general, if people don't think that a manager means all that much, then why is Leland held in such high regard here? Why do people have such reverence for him? If it's a job where it really doesn't make a difference, then why does the guy basically walk on water and get a standing ovation anytime he's around baseball fans here?
I mean, I think
of course it makes a difference.
I think the position matters. I don't think it matters as much as it does in other sports. It's definitely a romanticized position within sports baseball manager because of the daily nature of the sport. But Leland said it to us himself last time we had him on the show. He said, you've got to be able to know how to work a bullpen. And Shelton has no feel for that. And if he is not, as you said, if you've been hearing he is taking a hands-off approach to hitting, despite being a hitting coach, then it's the old Office Space bit. What would you say you do here, Derek?
412-928-9370. Here's Zach to lead us off this hour. Hello, Zach.
What's going on, guys? Met you at a spring training.
Oh,
told me to call more often.
Well, there you go. What's up? What do you got for us?
Well, I don't think Shelty, I think he is a object floating in space. Just as you guys said, he's can't control the bullpen, has no feel for it. These guys make the same mistakes on the bases and their cutoffs. That stuff's coachable. That isn't players just being awful. Sure, they're professionals, but those fundamentals matter. And what was it? 2 years ago, he said, oh, it's about winning now. It's about winning now. There's been no improvement from these guys. They can't hit. They haven't been able to hit. They can't produce runs. They're set up to play small ball, and they can't do it. And it falls on him. And, yeah, there's bigger issues, but he's part of the problem, not the solution.
I like what you said there about their setup to play small ball.
Thanks, Zach.
I think that makes a guy with a hitting background that much more important. Situational hitting, hitting behind the runner, like doing little small ball is analogous with what? Fundamental baseball, right? You're getting a bunt down here and there. You're hitting a ground ball to the right side if you're really trying to move a runner from second to third with less than two outs. Little things. And they just have fundamentally a very poor approach.
Well, the manager said it. He said, we got to win on the margins. The little things add up to big things, and they're terrible at them. Here's Rob in West Mifflin. Hello, Rob.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
I don't think he should have ever got hired, man, first of all. You know, like, to be honest with you, And then I went to the game because only I go to a Paul Skeens game, you know, once a year. I'm going to pick one this year, but that's all I support him with that. But I was at the Arizona game, and I forgot the left-hand batter's guy came up. He brought in a righty.
Like, Jack Peterson.
Yeah, and he went deep.
Yep.
Like, are you serious? That's just one of the blunders. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, why isn't Peguero up here? Why isn't the first-round pick Henry Davis playing every day? Like, these are things that, you know, the manager makes these decisions. He should have never been hired. So all these guys was calling in or tweeting, oh, it's not his fault. I'm not giving him no pity party. I grew up right down the Allegheny Commons, man. I used to walk to every game on Three River Stadium. Whether we went in for free or we just was down and hanging around as kids playing. You know, so I don't feel bad for him. He needs to go. They need to just tear this whole thing down.
That's one of the reasons why I like it, because I think it's the first step.
First domino to fall.
Yes, exactly. I think you do it, it might be a precursor of bigger things to come. I don't think it means that Ben Cherington has like a very long stay of execution. It makes me think he's actually closer to walking off the plank.
I don't think some of the things Rob brought up there, like Henry Davis, any of the situations with these players who aren't up with the big club are Derek Shelton's purview, but I think like Henry Davis being a horrible hitter since he's been in the big leagues or gotten his first big league shot, essentially, I think that's partly on Derek Shelton. What are you doing to help a guy that was picked number one overall who looks like he's squeezing the bat into a toothpick?
Here's why I disagree with you. I think that you have in one instance Mike Tomlin, who's the extreme, where he's the coach that also gets to pick the players and does all the draft stuff and wines and dines and entertains free agents and gives them pitches and stuff and basically has carte blanche and total control over the roster. And then I think you have Shelton, who's on the other end of things. And he doesn't, you're right, he does not have control of those things. But if you had a Clint Hurdle type or a Jim Leland type in here, I think they would. And I think that's part of the issue.
So you think Shelton having no other options and this being his first gig doesn't have the backbone to stand up and say, I want this, I want this?
No. Do you?
Well, no, but that's like a chicken and the egg problem. He's got a bad team to begin with that he's trying to get results out of. He's not getting results, so he's not going to feel like he can stand up to his bosses if he thinks they're screwing up. Hurdle at least had the Rocktober Rockies where he could say, double, you know, if he wants, metaphorically, I know Clint wouldn't do this, double middle fingers to Neil Huntington, do this because I think you're wrong.
Yeah, he had just spent a year with the Rangers where they went to the World Series, too. The guy had a resume.
Which my point in bringing that up is, if you think that the manager needs to stand up to the general manager more, probably you've got deeper problems than just the manager, but go hire Terry Francona or somebody else, and then you blow the general manager out of there, and you have a different power structure.
That's why I think the manager would have made a difference. Paul Skeens toes the rubber tonight as the Pirates get ready to start a series with the Nationals in a 7-game homestand with Washington. Time for our weekly chat with Pirates pre- and post-game host Dan Zangrilli, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Ken Rosenthal writing in The Athletic today about managers on the hot seats. He included Derek Shelton. He felt bad and sorry for Derek Shelton, saying that there are much bigger problems, much bigger fish to fry there, and essentially saying that Derek Shelton would just be a scapegoat if that's the direction the Pirates go in. Dan, your thoughts on that?
I would say that, you know, that's largely accurate, but I think when the Pirates, you know, if and when they do make changes, Andrew, I think that there's going to be a, there's going to be, I don't think, moves made on an individual basis. I think that these would be more sweeping changes because of what Rosenthal mentioned, what you mentioned, because I do think that some of the issues that are plaguing them right now are more philosophical. So, yeah, that's fair to say what Ken mentioned.
Do you think that means that Shelton's got more time than we think because they would want to do this all in one fell swoop and that they wouldn't want to fire the GM this early in the season?
I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I think it all depends on, you know, where the Pirates are at in the standings and how long you are in the season. And I think if they, and I was asked this on my show yesterday, when would a change potentially be made? I think you probably get to a 20-game under 500 mark, maybe 60 games into the year, and things are just going as they are right now and they don't improve. Because I think that, you know, we've come to know and learned that the owner has been very patient. I recall back in 2012, right? And I'm not drawing parallels here, but there was a lot of calls for Hurdle and Huntington, and Nutting gave them the extra year. They broke through in 13. I'm not suggesting that that's going to be the case here in 25. I'm just looking at just the parallels, thinking that, okay, it's year six. He's really going to give this as much runway as humanly possible before he has no other choice. In other words, he wants to see this thing through. He wants to see this thing correct itself. And he's probably looking at all the nuances of all the scenarios of them playing shorthanded and all the, for lack of a better term, excuses that you could make to try to spin this thing one way or the other. So I would say, hypothetically, 20 games under 500, 60 game sample size of on the season before we see any sort of action.
What I don't agree with, what I don't get about that is, why would you feel comfortable giving a manager an extension 20 games into a season, but you can't fire him in April? You jumped on a positive note for the guy, but you can't cut short. You know, we know how this movie's basically going to end, Dan. And unlike 2012, they made progress from 2011. This team won 76 games in back-to-back seasons.
I'm not saying that anything, Andrew, is impossible here. But if I'm to speculate, and, you know, nobody really does know how Bob Nutting truly operates. He's right now personally responding and sending proactive emails to people who are upset about the brick situation outside of PNC Park. I talked to somebody today inside the Pirates organization. It is a very tense place. The owner is ticked off. He's I think taking the wheel here more so than he ever has. It is not a very comfortable place at Federal Street. And I mentioned that before the first pitch was even thrown in 2025, right? The rent is due. And if you're delinquent, there's going to be an eviction notice on the door. The owner, in so many words, on the home opener, said just as much. This is why you play the games. And he's done what he feels is enough. He ain't happy right now. I can't be any more clear about that. So when something happens, if it happens, I think everything is on the table at this moment. But, you know, going back to 2019 in the offseason and how everything played out, when he wound up making changes at all three big positions, president, GM, and manager, in no particular order. The timeline was a little iffy. He waited some time before each individual move, so I don't think anybody has a clue as to what's going on in that very close circle, or maybe he's the only one that knows himself. Nutting, that is.
Dan, Pony theorized that from what he hears, or I guess I shouldn't say theorized. Pony said he's heard that Shelton, a hitting coach by trade, is generally very hands-off, let his people do their jobs, and does not intervene personally in his supposed area of expertise. One, can you tell me if that's your understanding as well? And two, why is that his posture, if in fact that is how he operates?
I don't know that for a fact. Whether or how much or how little he is involved with hitting. I think that's probably on a case-by-case basis, individual-by-individual basis. I know Hurdle was extremely hands-on. He burned through a ton of hitting coaches because he was essentially a quasi-hitting coach. I mean, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, and again, it's probably on an individual basis. But I would think that at this time, Chris, if there is an opportunity for him to help improve something, to interject, I highly doubt that he's going to sit idly by considering what's at stake right now.
Let's go to what Charrington said after your show on Sunday. I mean, you want to talk about tone-deaf comments. How does he say that about Tommy Pham? He's everything they had hoped for. I mean, you got to be a little bit more careful about how you describe the impact of a guy that's hitting in the 100s for your team, Dan. Come on now, Ben Charrington.
Below 100s, I think
that, well, I mean, in all fairness, I think the context of that is it was in relationship to his persona, the clubhouse leader, all of those things, not directly impacted to production itself. Just, I think, to be clear on that. But if that question did have somehow, some way, actual production and the results and the numbers tied into it, then yes, that's not the way to go about it. But I do think, Andrew, the question was phrased.
I know, but don't you say to that, look, hey, Greg, like, we don't, right now we got to win games. It's about what you do in the batter's box and on the field. It's not about leadership right now.
Oh,
right? I mean, that's what
that's
we want to hear as fans.
No, 100%. And, well, yes, and I think the rhetoric
We've got more talent at the upper levels than we've ever had here. What the heck was that all about?
Yeah, right. No, that is, you need to hear, and fans, I think, need to feel their frustration. And this is just the overarching tone and rhetoric that's coming out of both offices, the general managers and the managers. The fan base is ticked off. They need somebody to commiserate with. They feel, and this is based on what I'm getting on my shows, that there is just a way too passive and very calming environment in there, that there is no sense of urgency, because the things that you typically hear when stuff isn't going right, those accountability measures, whether that's just the tone or the direct words themselves, that's not...
Dan, I heard that their internal projections did not have them with a winning record this year. How could you be at peace with that in year six? That with all the math people and scientists and analysts you have, you put it through your 30,000 simulations and it spits out 78 or 79? How are you okay with that going into a season?
Yeah. I mean, hey, Andrew, I don't think anybody at all is happy with where things are at right now.
But
they can't be that surprised if their projections had them as a losing team. This is just plan going according to plan.
Yeah. And that's why I think that a lot of folks are on pins and needles right now.
What pins and needles? Just needles being, you just sit down and there's just a bed of needles.
What's really
there?
The difference between pins and needles? They're the same thing, two different names.
What they are is, I wish people would put those in my eye when I host post-game shows after losing 11 of 16. That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. All right, Dan, we'll be listening tonight on the way home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pins in one eye, needles in the other for Dan.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.